Hello and welcome to the 54 Problems Podcast. I'm your co-host, Andrew Edmonds. Welcome one and all. And thank you so much for joining us. And with me, as always, it's my good friend and co-host. You are never going to believe it. It's Simon Brown. Hello, Simon.
Hello, and as always, it is fantastic to be here.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming. Look, we're here today to talk about the Wagam 2023 that's just been held in Gumpelskirchen, Austria. It's been a crazy 2-3 weeks coming off the back of the World Crazy Golf Championship, going straight into the Wagam. I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about. The course, there's going to be a lot to talk about the course and the competition in general.
Yeah, that looks like a tough 2 weeks of mini golf for anybody. I think most of us that played the first week in Hastings, we spent half a week getting over it. And meanwhile, there was a team of 8 people from the UK and who knows how many others from across the globe out there doing it for a second week. Yes, I envy them. But that would have been tough.
Yeah, well, we'll hear all about that in a second. Just before we do, though, in mini golf news, there's a challenge happening at Dunton, one of our favourite courses. And I say that a bit sarcastically because it's an extremely difficult course. Bolaj Tompa is attempting to ace every single hole over the course of 2 days. There are some rules. He can use unlimited balls, but he's got to retrieve them himself. And if he hits a ball, obviously it doesn't count. And he will be doing that on a bet for £200. Simon, what do you think? Do you think he can do it?
I think it can be done. I think you tweak the tee shot. So we all think if you played the course, you think of where you lay up for the two. You don't attack those homes, you lay up for a two on most of them. If you started to attack the homes and just go over them with a dead ball, I think it can be done. Mm-hmm. If you've not played the course, the fact that this is even a discussion, that you've got 18 aceable homes and you're saying somebody might not do it in 2 days, that tells you everything you need to know about why you never need to go to Dunton Hills.
Sure, well, we'll keep our listeners updated on the results of that bet. Simon, in other mini golf news, there's been a new course opened by a good friend of ours.
Yes, well, technically it is a new course, but technically it's not. It's a found course, so to speak. It's only a few miles from my house, and yet I've never played it until the last couple of weeks. It's in Newport in Wales. In Tredegar Park, and Steve Skinner, a decent, solid UK mini golfer who's had a fantastic 12 months, has taken over the lease from the council and opened it up again as, you know, a mini golf facility. It's 9 holes, which, you know, it's one of those things, we don't play 9-hole courses. Having played it, it's got enough variety that it can sustain doing something the way we do it. And the playing surface is gorgeous. They've cleaned it up. And best of luck to them. It's fascinating to see that we have something different in the south of Wales now. Steve will give it his all, and the mini golf community came out to support the opening, which was a lovely way to spend last Saturday for me.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can, please do check it out. We'll share details in the show notes. I've seen some pictures. It looks really, really good, and I've heard really good things about it. One last piece of mini golf news. So wild card applications for the City Golf Tour Final 2023 in Askim have now opened. They are open to anyone, whether you've played in a City Golf event before or not. So if you would like to play in the final this year, please do apply. I would highly recommend it. I played myself in the final last year. There's so much prize money on offer. You're talking about €7,000. Such a prestigious event. It's a great 2 days. It's live streamed. It's really, really good. So If that's something that does appeal to you, go to the Facebook, search City Golf Tour, and you just fill out a form to apply. One thing that they want to hear is what will you do, or what can you bring to the final? So have a little bit of a think about that, and then pop that in your application. Okay, just before we bring on our guest who's going to share their personal experiences with the Wagon, I'm just going to run through the top three in each of the categories, just so we can give these people a congratulations, and we don't forget to mention them as we go through with the episode. So, in the male youth category, third place Anton Eriksson of Sweden, second place Kasper Kamonen from Finland, and first place Matěj Valček of the Czech Republic. In general class women, in third place Wilma Harrison of Sweden, in second place Elizabeth Gruber of Austria, and first place Olivia Propakova of the Czech Republic. Female seniors, in third place Claudia Schuster of Austria, second place Sandra Walker of Finland, and first place Petra Riegler of Austria. In general class men, third place Christian Gobetz of Austria, second place Fabian Spies of Austria, and first place Patrick Reiner of Austria. In male seniors, third place Marco Nuutio of Finland, second place Dušan Fušek of the Czech Republic, and first place Christian Adler of Austria. Female youth, in third place Lena Lennonstahl of Sweden, second place Anna Musilova of the Czech Republic, and first place Rebecca Johansson of Sweden. The all-important national team competition, third place Finland 1, second place Austria 2, and first place Austria 1. The mixed teams, or the mixed pairs, in third place was Finland with Walker and Nuutio, second place Austria with Schuster and Adler, and first place Austria again with Gruber and Reiner. And finally, overall, third place Kevin Sundström of Sweden, second place Fabian Spies of Austria, and first place Patrick Reiner of Austria. Well done, and congratulations to all of those people, and well done for everyone for taking part.
Yeah, a massive well done. Although, I mean, you can see the home advantage there. Those Austrians were dominant on that goal. I think you said as much Austria as you said every other country combined.
Okay then, so joining us to give us his personal experiences with the Wagon, a first-time player, we have the winner of the English Open 2022, the winner of the Dunton Open 2023, the captain of Fox's Mini Golf Club, and importantly, the first-time Team GB representative at the Wagon 2023. Please welcome to the 54 Problems podcast, James Shaw. Hello, James.
Hello, boys. How's it going?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well.
Good, good. Good, good.
So, James, take us back a bit to before the Wagon. Has this always been a dream of yours to play in the Wagon and represent your country? And how did it feel going through the qualification and trying to make the qualification?
Well, for me, I never thought any of this was ever possible in regards to mini golf. Obviously, it all came about finding something on Facebook about just going to a tournament, really, and just picking up a putter and, you know, starting playing mini golf because it was a passion of mine to play it competitively. And then, obviously, answering that question, to actually represent Great Britain at a World Adventure Golf Masters this year, it was an absolute privilege, absolute honour. I never thought I'd be able to do it as, without sounding arrogant, I never thought I'd be able to do it this quick. I thought it'd be something that would be 5 years, maybe 10 years down the line. I didn't think I was able to get to that stage that quick in order to represent the country, really. So yeah, it was one of those great experiences that I'll never forget. And to be representing Team GB at mini golf is just out of this world. And if anyone ever gets the chance to do it, then just go for it. The qualification process, obviously I was quite fortunate to get into the team, really, because there was a member that had to pull out. The opportunity arose in the back end of last year when I realised that I was next in line to the throne, really, of being in the team. So as soon as that opportunity came towards me and arose, I grasped it straight away and thought, yeah, I want to go Austria.
Yeah, it is one of those things that no matter how soon it comes up, you just take the chance and make the best of it. I guess the consolation or the reassurement for you would have came from the few months you've had between when you would have looked at the team thinking, I could go, and actually going out. What a few months you've had. You've managed to find the level in your game in the last, say, 6 to 9 months. And that would have been strange coming into this Wagon actually on form that deserved to be there, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have asked me this probably 9 months ago or a year ago from now, I'd probably say, no, I'm not good enough. I've got no chance of getting in the team. I'm nowhere near in form. Last year, I probably wasn't in a great place to play mini golf. There was a few habits that I had that I needed to eradicate. And then obviously I knuckled down a little bit. I've done meditation in the past since then to try and sort my mental side of it out. Now people are starting to see that, oh yeah, James Shaw's, yeah, he's a good player. He can get in the GB side. And actually to go out there and do it, I mean, anyone can do it, really. I mean, I've probably just contradicted myself there, but anyone with to put the right mind to it can get into the team. You know, it's one of those games where, or one of those sports, mini golf, that I love, and I think everyone here would vouch for that. You know, it's one of those games that's unique, that anyone can take part and anyone can do anything on the day, basically.
Okay, so you qualified for the team. You've put in a lot of work over the last 12 months, as you say. So you travel to Austria, to Gumpelskirchen. Can you give us the sort of newbie's perspective then on the Wagon? What sort of stood out to you the most when you arrived? Was it the course? Was it the kind of vibe there? What first impressions did you get arriving?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mini golfers paradise.
Where did that come from?
It was just the journey from the airport going straight to the course, mm-hmm. Seeing the views of Austria, you know, the countryside, and then all of a sudden just going down this country lane, mm-hmm. Just the side of the village of Gumpelskirchen, and turning up at a golf course, a mini golf course, and the facilities there were just amazing. Mm-hmm. And to just get out and look at the actual course itself, it was just like, wow, this is amazing. I've never seen anything like it in regards to like the layout of the course, the felt, the way it was designed, the backdrop, the views from around the course, looking at the hills of Austria. You know, it was just amazing, amazing weather as well. It was very hot, mm-hmm. Great temperatures to play mini golf. Sometimes a little bit too hot. But it was just turning up and seeing different nationalities from different, obviously different countries from all over the world, coming to this little designated area of mini golf and just doing something that we enjoy doing, and to actually just feel like, wow, I'm actually representing Great Britain in a different country at mini golf, not a small club in England, you know, with a few players in your team representing the BMGA and your club. So it was a bit of an eye opener for me, definitely.
I'll guess you had that moment then on the opening day, opening ceremony, and somebody gives you the national flag, and you would have carried that. I'm going to guess.
Yeah, it was an amazing feeling. Was it an out of body experience? In a way, yeah, because when you see things like this on telly and you watch the Olympics and stuff like that, and hopefully one day it will be Olympic sport. To actually carry the flag for Great Britain was an absolute honour. Mind you, I did get arm ache because I was waving the flag for a good 20 minutes.
And I did think of that.
Yeah,
I looked at your flag, and your flag looked lighter than mine did. I've got to be honest, that looked a lighter, smaller flag.
No, but you didn't see the dumbbells at the top of the flag though, that was weighting it down. So, but yeah, no, it was a great feeling to be with the team members as well. Actually wearing the Great Britain shirt and walking down these, you know, little country village lanes with people looking out the windows. It was amazing. Like the locals looking out the windows waving, and the kids coming to the front doors, and you're giving them flags of different nationalities. Even had the police, you know, cordoning off the road so we could, you know, walk to the course from the village. Yeah, it was an amazing feeling. Something I'll never forget.
Okay, and what did you think of the course itself then? So for people that aren't familiar with the course, I mean, I would say I've played it a few times. A lot of long lanes. There's one par 3 and one par 4 in particular that's very, very difficult. And other than that, just some extremely demanding and challenging holes where not always the first strategy is immediately obvious. Sometimes you have a plan A and a plan B. James, how did you find the course? You had when you were starting to practice, what were your impressions you got of the course?
I thought, wow, this is going to be challenging.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now, it was one of the most challenging courses I've played in. It kind of makes Dunton Hills seem a little bit easier. So all those people moaning about Dunton Hills, you've not seen nothing yet. It was a challenging course, and fair play to it as well, because it was a good course. There were some holes that I took well to straight away. Mm-hmm. There were some holes that I didn't take well to, and still to this day couldn't get my head round. And it was a case of just getting round, getting what you needed to get, and moving on, really. Yeah, there's certain holes on the course that are par 3s. And if you ever got a par 3 on it, it was like getting an ace, really. So, yeah, it's a tough course. It does remind me a little bit of Dunton Hills, because there's certain areas on your second putts or third putts that are very, you know, they're not flat. There is a lot of movability wherever the ball lies on the second shots. So you've got to take that into consideration as well. And it's also one of those courses where you can't be too soft on your shots, because if you're too soft on your shots, you could end up having 4s or 5s in places. You've really got to confirm that second shot and put it in the back of the cup. But then at the same time, you are risking it as well.
And did the course lend itself to the team aspect? Because, of course, the Wagon is the biggest team adventure golf tournament in the calendar. Did the course lend itself to that? Were you discussing new strategies in Team GB for each hole? Did you find that team element of it quite a big element when you were preparing?
Yeah, I think to be honest, with the Wagons, it's all about being a team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend going into a tournament like that just being an individual. I think if you're going out there as a team, you've got to be there as a team and as a unit going forward. And I think I'll vouch for that for future events as well. I think working together as a team helps everybody out in whatever aspect of life, sport, your job, you know, working as a team gets the best out of everyone, I think. Adding to that, when we was there, we obviously, you know, pretty practicing every day, morning all the way to evening. A big shout out to Ed and James Rutherford, our team captain. I called him El Capo because he was our captain. And him and Ed basically mapped out all the holes, mapped out all the second putts. So it kind of took away the anxiety for me as a person. I don't know about everyone else in the team, you'll have to ask them that, but it took out the me worrying about mapping things out and actually concentrating on my technique, you know, concentrating on those first shots to try and get the best results out of each hole. As a team, we obviously, we all try different shots to try and mitigate those drop shots if we can in the tournament. Most of the shots, we all played them same shots. There's a few of us that kind of didn't like that shot, so I'm going to play this way around the hole rather than over the hump or things like that. And that was absolutely fine. It wasn't like be all, end all. Everyone had to do the same thing. Everyone had to use the same ball or anything like that. There was kind of a bit of a leeway there where we could all agree on a few things on certain holes. But the main thing is you've got to be comfortable within yourself in that team to provide the best results. And if you're doing things slightly differently to what has been said, then I think that's fine as well. But yeah, the majority of holes and the majority of ball choice, everyone was using sort of similar sort of tactics or, you know, lines to get the best out of each shot.
Yeah, I think it is quite a different dynamic at Wagon, because even within the club structure you would have for a standard event, you know, at national level, like when you're playing for Foxes or I'm with Aces, when you see somebody doing something and it's not the consensus, you maybe politely point out, oh, I do this differently, but you lead them to it. But I noticed in Sweden when I was over with GB, there was that different vibe to how you come together with the shot choice, where you can have little tweaks on it, but the general consensus would be if somebody was wildly making the wrong choice, you might want to go and, you know, gently push them to what they should get to.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in the BMGA events, everyone's quite, not isolated, play the game as an individual. Obviously, there is the club event element of, yeah, we're a club, but when you go into a tournament, you are obviously thinking about yourself and how well you're going to do. And then you obviously big up your team members. Here, when you're playing for your country, it's kind of, you want to be really singing off the same hymn sheet, because you are a team at the end of the day, and you want to do the best for the team rather than the individual themselves. So I was very aware of playing as a team, doing the right shot for the team rather than just me for my personal enjoyment and my own sort of trying to do my best for myself. I wanted to do the best for the country, if that makes sense. If there was ever any point within the tournament that we went on, obviously in Austria, that a certain shot wasn't right and it wasn't working for everyone else, there'd be certain individuals, probably like myself or others, that'd say, look, why don't we try this shot instead? Because I feel that there's a better chance of getting, you know, one or two shots under doing it this way. And we'd all, you know, building up to the first day, that's what we was doing, you know, and we'd go through as teams. We'd probably go through as a three or a two or two fours just to go through the course and just keep, you know, keep the consistency, keep it rolling, keep it fresh, you know, at the same time. And yeah, it's a different dynamic representing your country than it is on tour in the UK, if that makes sense. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I would love to go again, I have to say. It's when you play mini golf, there's playing mini golf when you go to the seaside. Then you find the BMGA, you go on tour, that's a different level. And you think, wow, this is top end. I love this stuff. Then when you represent your country, it's like, yeah, this is definitely next level. And I have to say, on the first day of the tournament, the first shot that I played, I was like, is this for real? Am I actually doing this? Like, it's just amazing, you know, just, you know, being called up to the hole and, you know, having the electronic scorecards, which was really good as well. I thought was amazing. And to keep track of, when you're not playing, of what other people are doing on the course while you're sitting down having a nice Magnum. Andy Wilde will tell you about that. He loves the Magnums over there. So
it's got to be a white Magnum. It's all about
it's amazing. Other ice creams are available. But yeah, it was really good. Good experience.
And how did you find it personally doing all of this training just off the back of the World Crazy Golf Championship? Because I think Simon said earlier, both Simon and myself, we needed 2-3 days to recover after that Hastings weekend. You went straight from there into training for the Wagon. Was that tough?
Yeah, it was like a mini golf marathon. Mm-hmm. You know, getting up at 2:30 in the morning to drive to Stansted the day after the World Crazies was something else. It's having to dig deep for that extra bit of energy as well. You know, obviously you're flying out there. I didn't really want to pick the putter up the first day getting there. I just wanted to just walk around the course and just see what's what. But I ended up having a bit of a play in the afternoon with the lads on the course. But it's a different... It's hard to explain, really, because, yes, you're tired mentally and physically from the World Crazies, but then it's like when you're 20 years old and you're going out on a night out on a Thursday night, and then you realise you've got to go out on the Friday and the Saturday night as well. And you think to yourself, how am I going to have the energy to do a 3-nighter? It's the same with this with mini golf. It's like, you know, for the whole week you're there, you're playing every single day. And one thing that came to my mind was when I was practicing on the Tuesday, full day, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, it's coming to the end of the tour. You know, we've been here 3 days and the tour's nearly over. And I'm thinking, the tournament hasn't even started yet. And that's like, that's the main event, right? And you just think, wow, I've got another 3 days of this. But then obviously at the same time, I actually felt good throughout the week. As the days got on, I did feel better. But it come to the end of the week, I think we all suffered because I've never witnessed this in my life, but I got a cramp in the middle of the night in bed and my leg seized up and I was like, oh my God, I don't think I can play tomorrow. But yeah, it took its toll on me really. And I don't know, we were saying off air, Simon, that we're trying to get a little bit fitter, you know, like match fit. Like, you know, when you play you play what, a 1 day event and you think, yeah, 3 rounds, that's great. And I don't know whether you noticed my scores on day 2 at the World Crazies. I absolutely capitulated. I was in a good position on day 1. But day 2, I felt mentally fatigued and physically as well. And that's where another thing, a part of my game where I need to improve, where I need to get a little bit fitter. And I think I spoke to Ed Pope about this as well. He's in a position where he needs to get a bit fitter with the game as well. But surprisingly, in Austria, midweek, I think we was just running off... just being there, you know, the euphoria of being in the team and just thinking, wow, this is an amazing place to be. And there's so many people on the tour that would love to be in our position right now. So I think for me, mentally, that was keeping me going when I was feeling slightly fatigued. But yeah, it is like in the question, it's like a mini golf marathon. Like, you've really got to take it step by step. And what I will say is, get the sleep while you can. Mm-hmm. You know, get a good night's sleep in every night. Try and feel refreshed for the next day and just go at it again.
Was that really the first time in your life that you've ever got cramp?
In my leg? Yeah,
just in your leg. First time in your life you got cramp in your leg. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting old. I'm getting old now, Andrew. It was horrible. It was a horrible feeling.
Pretty common occurrence for me.
It was a horrible feeling because I went to the toilet and I'm like, I really can't walk on this leg. And I've still got day 2 to do on the Saturday in the Wagon. So I did 3 rounds on the Friday and I'm like, I think I'm going to have to pull out of this tournament if I can't put any weight on this foot. So I'm not going to play well. Well, that'd be my excuse anyway, I think, if I didn't play well. But it is, you've got to be fit for it, I think. Mentally and physically to play it.
All right, take us back a couple of days before the tournament. Thursday night, tournament started on Friday. How were you feeling Thursday night? How were you sort of rating your chances? What was the mood like within Team GB? Were you confident? Were you gunning for it? What was that like right before the tournament?
Certain members of the team mentioned that previous Wagums, they wasn't in a... We wouldn't stand a chance. Well, not... We wouldn't really have a chance like previous tournaments. This tournament in particular, I think we all agreed that we had a strong enough side to do something special.
Yeah.
And certain members in the team could do something special with the experience from previous years and obviously some of the informed players at the time before the tournament. I generally think as a team and as Great Britain for mini golf is at the minute, it puts us in good stead for the future, I think, because we are gradually getting better, I think, as a Great British team in mini golf. The downside to it, obviously, going to these events is not having the advantage like other countries do have, where, like you say, the Czech Republic sides are only probably, you know, an hour away from the course, so they've got better access to the course, whereas we'd have to take a flight to get over to the course. So for me, on the night before, we was in good spirits. We all felt confident going into the tournament. We all felt it could be quite, you know, sort of even with some of the other countries to, you know, put ourselves in a good position for day two, sort of thing. But yeah, it was quite positive vibes on the day before the tournament, I'd say. Definitely.
Yeah, the Czech Republic players aren't just an hour away from the course, but I know what you mean. It's a car drive. It's a makeable car drive rather than a flight. That is true. Okay, so you're feeling up for it. Team GB is feeling up for it the Thursday night before the tournament starts. Then how did you find the tournament itself? Emotionally, how do you find it? Could you give us that perspective of actually playing in the Wagon shot by shot? Was it on your mind at all? Did you feel the pressure? Was it a new experience for you? What was it like once the tournament actually started?
It was not what I thought it'd be.
Okay.
In my mind. And what I mean by that is I thought I'd be really, really nervous. I thought I'd be like, wow, my arms are trembling, you know, my legs are trembling.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a big deal, right? You know, sure. you're starting your first Wagum, you know, you're earning your first appearance for your country. I was pretty calm. I felt pretty calm just playing. And obviously I've had to work on that, like I was saying previously, just to keep yourself together. You're still practicing, take it as a practice, but, you know, do your best. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the challenge. I enjoyed the anticipation of each hole, knowing when you're coming up to the next hole, like, oh God, you know, for example, if you're in Margate, Heartbreak Ridge, you know, everyone, the anticipation's coming for them holes, you know. And in Austria, it was hole six, where it had the long lane with the humps.
You got to rebound off the back of the
of the block. And you're talking probably it's about 200 yards away, or it seemed like that, you know, and you've got to hit the ball right. And it's like the anticipation of hitting it right, or, you know, someone could put you off before you have your shot and things like that. All them things go through your head when you're playing. So for me, it was just I wasn't as nervous as I thought I'd be. And to be honest, I was just embracing every moment of just being there and just... I was in the mindset of I don't care if I play rubbish because I'm here already, and just to be here, and just if I play my game, then I'll be fine, you know. And to just represent the country, it was just a great feeling, you know. Sort of that was the vibe I got from a lot of other players as well. You know,
yeah,
just
well,
do
how,
your best.
How was it meeting members of the sort of international mini golf community? Because I know you're a fan of this podcast, so you probably hear international names, some names pop up a lot. How was it to actually get with the global mini golf community and start meeting some people that you haven't perhaps met before?
It was really good, really good. meeting other team members from different countries was brilliant. Big shout out to Vanette Block. She made me feel really welcome. Such a lovely character of mini golf. Brian Akers as well. I swapped shirts with him towards the end of the tour. He was a great chap as well. And Martin from the Czech team. I was playing with him.
Oh yeah. He told me he was playing with you actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said that you said hi as well. So yeah. it was good to play with him. He's a lovely guy. Mm. A lot of the American team, brilliant. It was good to see Frank again as well. Yeah. Obviously from partnering with him in the World Crazies. A lot of the Austrian team made us feel welcome. It was just a really good feeling. It was good to see the Hungarian team there as well, as Marton and Balas obviously play on the BMGA tour a lot as well. So I didn't feel like I was like a newbie, if that makes sense. I felt like I was part of the community there, you know, the Wagum universe, I'd like to say.
Yeah,
it was good.
You mentioned Vanette Block. I was so happy to see her play. She's been quite honest with her recent health struggles on Facebook. So to see her get there and to play after, I know it's been a long journey for her, put in a really solid performance. I was really, really happy to see that as well. So congratulations, Vanette.
She's such a colourful character, such a colourful human being. Great personality, you know, made me feel welcome straight away. And I got a WMF ball offer, so I was happy with that.
Simon, any final questions for you? I'm going to start with the wrap-up questions. Do you have anything else that you want to ask?
Yeah, definitely I do. So looking ahead, I don't believe you're going to be there, actually, but the BMJ tour this weekend moves to Saltash. Last year, I believe it was the English Open. You won it. It's the Cornish Open this year, but same course. You won that last year. Any advice for those who'll be there this weekend? How do you play Saltash, and how did you conquer it last year?
Take a canoe with you. Last year, it was horrible weather-wise. In all seriousness, it's a challenging course. Those that have not played it, you'll soon find out why on certain holes. Are you playing it, Simon?
I am indeed, yeah, and I haven't played it in a tournament before.
Yep. Have you not? Okay. Obviously, it was the first time I played it last year anyway, and obviously I went on and won it. So it's, you never know, mate, you could still do it. it's a lovely course, it's a lovely design. I think it's Greenspan that designed the course, I'm not too sure.
Yes.
Like I said, yeah, it's a challenging course. Even with the weather conditions, you've got to adapt to them, certain holes. It's one of those courses as well where you've got to keep your head on each hole. There's certain holes where certain balls turn differently on your second shot, so you've got to make sure you've got them in your mind when you're playing. And yeah, it's going to be a great event. Unfortunately, I can't make it this weekend due to personal reasons of health at the moment, which I won't go into. But I do wish everyone the very best of luck. I'm sorry I can't be there for it. It's a course that I did want to go to this year, but I'm having to focus it on other tournaments at the moment. But yeah, anyone playing it for the first time like yourself, Simon, it's a course where when the aces do come, celebrate them. If you do get a lot of twos, don't be so hard on yourself, because it's one of them courses. It reminds me a little bit of Sid Cup, where if you do get your twos and a couple of aces, then you do stand a chance. The course record's 31. So if you get your 34s, 35s, maybe probably 33s, you're in well good stead of winning the tournament, I feel. It is a course where you will get a great round, but I also feel there is the odd round where you probably might slip up and get a 37, 38 and still end up probably winning the tournament. It's one of those courses. It's such a unique course in itself, I feel.
Okay, so you've had some time now to reflect on it all, to reflect on your experience. Just quickly, James, wrap it up for us. How do you feel about the Wagam now, your involvement in the Wagam, and your potential involvement in Team GB moving forward?
Firstly, I'd like to thank everyone in the team for making me feel so welcome that are going to be listening to this podcast. Secondly, I'd like to be there every year from now on, if I can. I've got to get my ranking up a little bit higher, I feel, just to secure the spot. I'd like to eventually represent, obviously, the country going forward for many years to come. And you never know, probably even captain the country in future. But yeah, it's just to add to that, anyone that's never been representing the country at mini golf, if you ever get the chance, please do it. Please make the sacrifice to represent Team GB, because it'll be the best achievement you've done in mini golf. Because for me, it was better than winning a tournament to actually represent the country. Just to know that you're there representing the team, I'd probably take that over one of the tournament wins so far, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that nobody can ever take away from you. And, you know, as we touched on earlier, I feel mine came too soon for a debut. And, you know, I don't overly look back on it and think it was a fantastic player. Far better people than me have never been to one. But it can't be taken away, and it is amazing. So whenever that chance comes along, if it ever does, just go and do it. Whoever you can play for, whichever country it is, it's amazing. I don't think anybody has ever said otherwise.
No, it was just going into it slightly, it was just a great experience, and the camaraderie in the team. You know, even when you're not playing mini golf, you know, we was having a few laughs. There's a few moments within the tour that, I wouldn't say it stays on tour, but there's a few moments on the tour where you think, oh, that was hilarious, you know.
All right, James, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. That was great to hear you talk us through it. I'm so glad that you had a good time. And again, congratulations to everyone who competed in the Wagam. Next year, it's Brno in the Czech Republic. First ever time it will be on two courses. So we look forward to covering that. And with that said, all that's left is goodbye from James.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast. And good luck to everyone at Saltash this coming weekend.
Goodbye from Simon.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.